The Srimad Bhagavatam from the 5th canto, chapter 24, text 27. Tasyanu charitam uparishtat vishtarishyate yasya bhagavan swayakila jagadgurur narayano dvari gadapani ravatishtati nija janu kampita hridayo yenan gushtena padadashakandaro Yojanayutayutam Dikvijaya Ukchatitoho. Translation. Shukadev Goswami continued, "My dear king, how shall I glorify the character of Bali Maharaj, the supreme personality of Godhead, the master of the three worlds, who is most compassionate to his own devotee, stands with club in hand at Bali Maharaj's door. When Ravana, the powerful demon, came to gain victory over Bali Maharaj, Vamanadev kicked him a distance of 80,000 miles with his big toe. I shall explain the character and activities of Bali Maharaj later in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatudashtutulatale mayunama danavendrastripuran dhipatir bhagavata purarina triloki sham chikirshuna nirdagdasva puratroyas tat prasadala labdhal padu mayavinamacharya mahadevena parirakshito vigata sudarshana bhayo namahiyate. Beneath the planet known as Sutala is another planet called Talatala, which is ruled by the Danava demon named Maya. Maya is known as the Acharya or the master of the Mayavis, who can invoke the power of sorcery. For the benefit of the three worlds, Lord Shiva, who is known as Tripurari, once set fire to the three kingdoms of Maya, but later, being pleased with him, he returned to his kingdom. Since that time, Maya Danava had been protected by the Lord Shiva, and therefore he falsely thinks that he need not fear the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tatudashtan mahatale kandrave yanam sarpanam naika shirasham krudhara vasho nama guna Ganaha kuhaka takshaka kalia sunisa sushenadi pradhana maha bhogavanta patatri rujadi pate purushavahat anavaratam udvijamana svakala tatrapatya suhrit kutumba sangena kvachit pramata niharanti. The planetary system below Talatala is known as Mahatala. Mahatala. It is the abode of many hooded snakes, descendants of Kadru, who are always very angry. The great snakes who are prominent are Kuhaka, Takshaka, Kalia, and Sushena. The snakes in Mahatala are always disturbed by fear of Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, but also they are full of anxiety. Some of them nevertheless sport with their wives, children, friends and relatives. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is stated here that the snakes who live in the planetary system known as Mahatala are very powerful and have many hoods. They live with their wives and children and consider themselves very happy. Also they are always full of anxiety because of Garuda, who comes there to destroy them. This is the way of material life. Even if one lives in the most abominable condition, he still thinks himself happy with his wife, children, friends and relatives. So here we get a glimpse of other residents in this universe, once again demonstrating that we are not alone. Just because we cannot see the neighbors, that doesn't mean they don't exist. To be very childish to assume that on this planet there is such a variety of life and anything else is empty. It's just logically spoken, it doesn't make any sense. You know, when you look out there into the sky, there are many planets And we are supposed to be the only one who is populated like this. But of course, our vision is very limited. And because we cannot see, so we think snow. You know, it doesn't exist. You know, I used to tell the people that you cannot see the back part of your body. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist or what. You know, this logic, I cannot see, as therefore it doesn't exist. So many things we cannot see. When I was younger, brahmachari, I love to agitate people, so I just tell them, well, I cannot see your brain. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Maybe you don't have it, you know. The intelligence is definitely not there. So, you know, just because I don't see your brain, it doesn't mean that you don't have it. So, you know, what kind of logic is this? Show me, you know, show me what? I have glasses that thick, you know, and you tell it, show me. Well, then you take off your glasses, you don't see anything. So, what kind of logic is this? So, there are so many things we cannot see, and there are so many things we cannot understand. So, here we have a description of planets of snake. Snake body is generally a very sinful body. It's, you know, therefore actually the stated, Srila Prabhupada relates how he was first tested regarding his faith to his spiritual master. Because when he visited him in his headquarters in Mayapur, so he was witnessing, you see the building until today, there is a balcony. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was on the balcony and he called for brahmacharis. There's a snake in a garden, kill it. And Srila Prabhupada, coming from the Gandhi background, you know, 100% absolute non-violence, was thinking, what kind of sadhu is this? You know, he's ordering here somebody to be killed. You know. So, and Prabhupada explains later on, when I read Bhagavatam and I found in connection with Lord Shiva churning the ocean of poison, actually the ocean of nectar which turned into an ocean of poison. So, we know that the poison churned this way was disseminated to various creatures, scorpions, snakes, anything, poisonous spiders. And actually until then they were not poisonous. When they drank the poison from that ocean, they became poisonous. Lord Shiva himself drank a little bit and his throat turned blue, we know that. So it was very powerful poison. So Prabhupada comments that actually, that yes, there is a sanction in a Shastra, such creatures should be killed. This is their karma. We can kill them. Of course, devotees generally don't like to kill anything, but you know, they can be killed, there is no sinful reaction. But you can see snakes and all these creatures, they're actually usually very shy. You have to be quite stupid to, you know, to embrace a poisonous snake. Usually it happens by accident. I saw it in India, you know, a devotee fixing his air conditioning, you know, the box, hanging there at night with no torchlight. Well, there was a cobra there inside. Well, you know, if you stick a hand in India into any cavity with no torchlight, you are immediately endangering your life. You know, so that's something. In India, you don't do simple things like this. This is dangerous. And they like cavities. They like, you know, places they can crawl in. So the cobra struck him and that was the end of him. I was this year in January in in South India, and we had to stop. We had a car accident and we had to stop on the road. Some devotee was going, oh, I have to go to the toilet. And then the temple president was there from Salem temple. He said, please, it's a whole countryside for your disposal here. You know, that's how you do it in India. You want to go to the toilet, there's a whole countryside. However, he said, I know this area. We are in an area which is famous for being infested with the most poisonous cobras. So be careful where you go. Then he looked at him and he said, the small cobra, will give you 5 to 7 minutes to chant before you leave the body. And the big one will give you maybe 1 or 2 minutes. He calculated how many rounds you can chant before you leave the body. That's much when you encounter a cobra. Most poisonous, especially the king cobras, they are just instant. So such a planet does exist. So it's a very sinful body. Nevertheless, it's described here, they also have their family life, and you know, and they think, yeah, it's very nice here. Yeah, very nice. You know, this is very nice. This is snake planet. So this is called habituated. This is actually the most dangerous part of Maya, that we get used to it. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, we don't want to get used to it. And we always remember ourselves, no, this is crazy. No, no, no. It's like swimming against the stream. Everybody else is going down with the stream and going, it's very nice here. You go, oh, there's a waterfall at the end, you know, you will all go to hell. No, no, they are paddling, yeah, very nice, you know, and they all go down the same direction. You know, Maya is very harmonized. She always tunes everybody in the same direction, please, this way. And then we all flow this way. And at the end, there is, you know, a little... And they go, well, where did he go? He disappeared. He died. You know, went to hell. And he goes, no, well, things do happen to people. What's the problem? You know, I'm not afraid of that. No. You know. Even it's so, Maharaj Yudhishthira says, it's the most amazing thing. Everybody's dying in front of our eyes and nobody gets the point. Everybody is making plans and discussing. And isn't it nice when you don't really leave Krishna consciousness? You can just be in Krishna and just watch it. You know? And after a while, it's called old age. Probably, they say this is one of the symptoms of approaching old age, that you get a little bit tired of seeing always people coming up arguing. You know? There's always this scenario of this. No. And you just sit there, watch this, and he goes, oh, not again. I think, in my opinion, well, I would do it differently. This is what, you know, the Kali Yuga attitude. And you go, well, how differently? I don't know, but differently. We all want to be distinct, forgetting that we are often quite distinct idiots. You know, we are very distinct. Yes, I agree, I'm a humble Vaishnava. I am foolish, but foolish in my way. You know, very distinctly foolish. Very special foolish. And the foolishness in Kali Yuga takes all kinds of colorful forms. And now you can open your webpage and be foolish, you know, for thousands of people. You know, you can broadcast. This was very restricted in Vedic society. There was no broadcast. Prabhupada said, no broadcast and no advertisement. If you want to sell something, you go in a marketplace, you put it there and you say, here, this is potato. You can buy it. But you don't make, you know, people convincing when you eat this potato. You become a beautiful man. Just eat this potato, you will be beautiful. That's advertisement, you know. They always impress upon you, when you dress like this, when you smoke like, when you do this, do that, then you become like this. A new being. Just buy a jacket. And you will become very different. This is all advertisement. This is all provoking false emotions and impressing upon people something which will never happen. It's all cheating, all lying, all the way through. You know, they even, you know, computerize people, you know. Yeah. These people you see on the advertisement boards, they don't exist. This is in reality. The ladies are painted, and when you take the paint down, it's just... As they ask one very, very beautiful woman, how can you manage to be always so beautiful? And she was honest. She said, you should see me when I wake up in the morning. You will not recognize that person even. You know. So this is cheating, this is lying. So it's forbidden in Vedic culture. No advertisement. If there is something, you present it as it is. Everything is as it is. You are a fool? Good. But be fool as you are. Don't try to be something else. Yesterday in the program we had a whole lecture on this. It's a whole third chapter Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, you cannot be a hypocrite in Krishna consciousness. Don't pretend anything. Rather, you be honestly imperfect as to be perfect hypocrite. Don't try to imitate the duties of another and be another. Be yourself. You know, it was one of my godbrothers who left the body as well. I was always very inspired in his presence. His slogan was Sridhar Swami. He was always, be yourself. He was called the Jolly Swami. You know. Yeah. The doctors told him, either you go on a very rigid diet and maybe you can live 2-3 years more. Maybe. Or you can eat what you are eating now, which is horrible, and you die. And he said, what's the use of living when I cannot eat? And he died. You know, very honestly. He says, we had a really amazing conversation. He said, you know, I really still don't understand. Why am I a sannyasi? I'm a jolly guy. Women like me. You know. But somehow, he said, even when before I joined this movement, I was jolly, actually. Not jolly, but I was just a funny guy. So the girls liked me, so I invited them for a date to a library. Because I love to read books. And I show them all the books. And when they, you know, what I like to read and all this, and I was happy, and then they left and they never came back. Devotees are very often like that. I knew one devotee in Sweden. He likes to walk. You know, Swedish people, you know, the nature and walk. And so he invited the girls always for a long walk. So after 40 kilometers, you know, they dropped out. They never came back. And he was wondering why. It was such a nice walk, you know. Why don't they come back? This is classical devotee, you know. Just slightly disoriented in this world. Never got the point. Devotees are a little bit disoriented, you know. They always go, why is everybody here, why is everybody not joining me? It's so nice, you know. I have a walk and they all go home. I go to a library and they never come back. You know, what is this? So Krishna consciousness is, it's natural. You cannot pretend and you cannot be a hypocrite. It's a big issue on this. And usually somebody down the road when you talk gets very uneasy feelings. Because we didn't came here to play theatre. It's not a stage, you know, which we... I grew up in with amongst actors and all these people. And in a very early age, I realized nobody is for real. It's always a play. They were all, you know, everybody was acting, you know. And I felt like, yeah, actually the whole world is like theater, you know, they're all acting here, you know. And then the real question arised, who wrote this scenario? Who is the director? And then, you know, quite by empiric research, I start to ask questions like, who wrote all this theater here? This is quite an interesting piece, and it's so convincing, and it's so well written that people think it's for real. You know, they're all, you know, they have a perfect costumes, and everything is perfectly set in scene. Illuminated, you know, in theater it's light and scene and all this, and I always felt that I'm sitting like in a hall watching the whole thing, you know, and it starts to become dangerous, because then people start to think you are mad, you are not joining the theater, you are mad. Actually, they are mad, But they start to think, you are strange. You know, I started to get ideas to, you know, to test people if they are really, you know, like you go and you take somebody's mask, you know, and you try to take the mask away. And it's going, who is he really? And they got angry, you know. Don't touch my mask. Come, join us. It's one big carnival. You know, in carnival, everybody is masked. No, nothing is for real. So for me, actually, it became more like a carnival, the whole thing. And then you think, then you start to make jokes and become cynical. You think, okay, what is the game today? You know, I hate you. And I said, oh, that's really pathetic, you know. Really. I love you. Oh, it sounds better, but it's still pathetic. It's very, very bad to get friends like this. I never had friends. You know, I never had friends, not one. You know, girls, they always were going, do you love me? I could never give an honest answer. I said, well, maybe. And they don't like to hear this. They want full drama, full romance. You know. And when you want to have a really fancy theater, you have to go to the female department. They know how to decorate the scene, and it's going to be three-dimensional. It's going to be, you know, multimedia show. Really. It's called Stree in Sanskrit. They know how to expand the scene, how to make it count. If it would be just to man, this material world, well, it would be quite a simple place, you know. As one famous actress said, marriage for a woman is like excursion to another dimensions. For a man, it's like a parking lot, you know, a garage. Garage is usually not a very romantic place, you know. There's the gummi tires hanging here, and there's some tools, and you park the car there. So the man thinks, yes, it's good, I got married, we parked. Now we have to secure the perimeter, you know, we clean up the garage, you know, and then, you know, that's it. He will sit in the car going, vroom, 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 vroom. I think that's a good thing. You know, when a female comes, oh, it's just a concrete garage, you know. There must be a nice windows and the flowers around, you know, and some music to it, and all this, and there's to be painted, and all this, and the man thinks, that's quite complicated, you know. It costs money too, you know. No, the curtains and all this, and no. You know, so that's how it works, this world. And actually, it's perfectly composed. Without this combination of these two departments, male, female, it would be a quite non-functionable place. As Prabhupada was sitting in Mayapur on the table, and his servant, he told me that he saw Prabhupada staring at his table, and there was two flies, male and female, and Prabhupada was just sitting there watching this, and the female was, and the male was, you know. And the female was just close enough that the male got inspired. And the male was going, oh. And the female always flew a little bit further, just to keep him in aware. And then the male was starting getting, losing the enthusiasm. There's nothing happening here. So, you know. And then the female came immediately closer. And he was going, you know, starting again. Prabhupada looked at that table and he shook his head. He looked at his servant. He said, it's the same game again and again. You know, this is how this, you know, this is now a speculation, I say, but I used to have a GBC who was giving lecture, meditating how the proton and neutron in the atom are spinning and chasing each other. He said, that's probably the universal structure here. You know, it's like male and female just going. It's called atomic energy. That's how the energy is generated. If it will be just one, not much will happen. The women will just sit somewhere and going, basically envying each other and talking about men. And the men, they will just go somewhere in a bomb. I have a new car. And that will be it. You know, not much, that much happening. So this is perfectly orchestrated. Maya is Krishna's energy. It's called mercy also. Mercy means in two ways. To accommodate us and to wake us up. Actually, Lord Brahma describes, I created this universe so people can wake up. It's a rectification institution, you know. But somehow or other, they feel very comfortable with that. This is what Prabhupada is commenting here. Like you put somebody in jail and he goes, in the beginning he's a little bit intimidated, but after a while he thinks, well, it's not so bad here, you know. The food is a little bit strange, but it's possible to eat. You know, and then you start to decorate the jail, you know. You put a little curtain that you did in the bars, you know. You paint the bars pink, you know, and you think, it's not so bad here, you know, it's not so bad. So, you know, so Prabhupada gave the really radical example of a man lying in a hospital after a car accident, completely bandaged, you know, gyps, and he's barely breathing, and the relatives come and they go, how are you? You know, and he goes, hey, not so bad. It's not so bad. It's okay. I said, what do you mean it's okay? He's almost dying. And he goes, hey, it's quite okay. People are so comfortable in this world. I don't know if it's customary in Slovenia, but in Czech, they go even out there and they select the place of a grave where they will be buried. And they select the size of the coffin and, you know, and what stone will be there. And they think, oh, I will be there resting here like that. Well, he will be resting nothing. Just a bunch of bones there rotting away and he will be gone. And where do we go? We don't know. That's the reason why people are so fearful of death, because they don't know where they will go. We don't know. We can end up anywhere. And it's all coming to us. There is nothing sure as death. So we will all have to quit this. With this view, we should take a little distance from what is happening right now and think soberly. What else I can do? How much time do I have left? And then suddenly things become, there are people who were exposed to death situations, severe situations. It changed their lives. Even amongst devotees, I know those who were just about to die and who not yet. You are informed about a terminal disease. You know, your body is going now to fall apart. Suddenly the world looks quite different. Suddenly the system of priorities is changing. What is important, what is not important. And suddenly so many things which used to be important, they are not so important. You know. That's a like problem in situations we are. We get stuck in them. We lose distance. We get captured by the circumstances. And we think, no, today, that's the drama. It's a problem. You know. If you want to know really have a condensed version of the daily catastrophes, you have to become a grihastha. This is really like, you know, there's always something happening. Children and all this, and this is all constant state of anxiety actually. You know, constant state of something can happen anytime. You know, yeah. I remember I was once on Sankirtan distributing, it was many years ago, but it was early in a German town, you know, the shops were opening and just before even people start to float into the shopping street, and there was a pharmacy, you know. In Germany, pharmacy and butcher, it's kind of very respectable thing. You know, it's a very fancy shop. The butcher shops, they look like temples. They are covered with marble and, you know. So there was a pharmacy man, he opened his shop, you know, and he And then there were some garbage cans in front, so he was moving the garbage cans, and he had a little baby, just a very little baby, you know, on his hand in the morning. So he was moving the garbage can, and actually he put the baby on the lid of the garbage can, and he lifted it up, and the baby liked that. It was like a whip, you know, whoop, 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 and it was holding. So as he was whipping the lid of the garbage can, the baby was actually holding with the little fingers on the garbage lid. So of course, consequently, the next time he closed it, the little fingers were stuck in between. And it was all very romantic, and the mother was looking out the window going, hello, you know, and the father was cleaning up, preparing, and he was whipping, and then the little one was going, oh, and then, you know, start to scream because the fingers were, you know, between the lid and the garbage can. Instantly, the whole scenery changed. The mother came running down the stairs. The father grabbed the baby and he examined the fingers. Actually, it's not easy to break fingers from such a small baby. They are like gummy. So, you know, so, but it was drama. And in 1 second, the whole romantic scenery collapsed. She was accusing him, what are you doing with my baby? You know, and they were like, ah! And I was just standing there going, okay. In 1 second, the whole thing can flop over. In 1 second. Nowadays, people go around and there's some Muslim gentleman who blows himself up. They do it occasionally, you know. You know, Allah Akbar, boom. You know, and in the middle of a marketplace, people go and they were just, you don't expect it. Person next to you to blow up, you know. And it's happening. Just like this. Who knows how many at this wonderful upcoming Christmas, how many get blown up again? Probably some. You know. And we never know when, where. We don't know. So that alone should give us awareness and tolerance. Why to get hooked up on these little things daily? Yes, yes, we have to remove problems. Life means, you know, that you get up in the morning and you start to remove problems. But why to be so dramatic over it? You know, yeah. Amongst devotees, we have the luxury to be open and straightforward. You know, there's a way to deal with this. Prabhu, you know what? I hate you. Oh, really? Well, actually, I hate you too. What can we do about this? Well, there's a simple way. Can I do some service for you? Yes. Can I do some service? And immediately the whole thing is diffused. Immediately. You have to strategically address your envy. You have to strategically address your hatred. All this. And it's not going to happen with some lovey-dovey, oh, Prabhu, let's think positively. I love you. That's cheating. Because I hate you anyway. No. Practically. In a very practical way. This is what Sankirtan is. I mean, I certainly was sitting in a Sankirtan van with individuals I would never meet in my life. Very peculiar persons. You know. Who didn't like me much. And I didn't like them either. That's the tense morning session when you sit in a car, you know, and he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you have to sit there, listen to this, and you go, Prabhu, can you chant a little bit normal? No, I'm in ecstasy, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's even worse, you know, Hare, 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 and then silence. You go, Prabhu, wake up. The first thing which wakes up is the false ego. Prabhu, don't disturb me, I'm meditating. So this kind of things happened, you know. So, okay. And then, you know, and then it's like, especially when you travel with four brahmacharis for 2 years. Nothing is changing. And you go and out. So now it's lecture. And they look at you like, oh no, he again lecturing, you know, okay. All right, big wise man, we will see you on the street. So, you know, so actually we stopped this. We were just reading, you know, and everybody could comment something, you know, like this. Because familiarity breeds contempt. That's the problem with devotees. There are not so many devotees. And when they are together all the time, they think, oh, yeah, I know him, yeah. I know him, yeah. He's snoring at night, yeah, and he eats too much halwa. I know them. This familiarity. And that can be easily contradicted when you preach. Because if you preach, you realize how rare it is that somebody starts to chant Hare Krishna at all. That somebody comes around. So I remember, you know, we used to have a very peculiar, I mean, we were young boys, you know, sitting in a car, stuck together for years. So it gets hot, it gets tense. I remember one devotee, you know, being attached to apple chutney. Every morning he had his own cooking session with this pressure cooker, cooking his apple chutney. All the time. You know? Yeah. And under very dangerous circumstances, we didn't have that kind of established kitchens in the beginning in a car, so he was holding the gas bottle between his legs during the driving and cooking his apple chutney, you know. And I remember once he was so attached, he couldn't wait until the, you know, pressure cooker, you know, you have to wait until the steam goes out, then you can open it. But he couldn't wait, and I told him, be careful, and he was going, what do you mean, be careful? And he opened it by force, and the whole apple chutney blew in his face. I remember he had the raisins here like this, you know, and half of this was in a car, half of this was flying out of the car. I mean, you know. And we were just laughing, you know. So there was very tense atmosphere. Once we went out, and you are the whole day on Sankirtan, basically facing opposition, that's what you do. You know, the same devotee comes back to the car in the evening. The first thing he says is, you know, it's just one day Sankirtan. This is the very powerful medicine for all this, our false egos and for all this. So let's, you know, doing things together. The Vaishnava Sangha has a very practical form. You know, if you don't, like we can talk now very nicely here, yeah, sure. But then, the real thing starts after the lecture. Start to do things. And when you do, you challenge the material energy. You know, because Maya, that's the kingdom of Durga. And Durga, znamena, very difficult to go. You know. So that's challenge. That's the real challenge. We have the Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita is just the introduction. The real thing happened after. As Prabhupada says, it is not so that Arjuna told Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, wonderful, I understood everything. It's so beautiful what you said. You are the controller, you are the maintainer, you are the enjoyer. So do it. You said it. By my will they all were put to death. So do it. And then Arjuna sit in the back of the chariot, relaxed and smoke ganja. So Prabhupada says like this. It's not like that. No, 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 no. Then, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, the real show started. And it wasn't easy. There were situations Arjuna was really in danger. Krishna himself had to step forward and save him. Even he said he will not take part in that battle. So, you know, so that's life. So it is really what we are going to do after the lecture. Now it's okay, now it's like we can hear and maybe remember something of that, but then comes the real challenge. Social friction, you know, there's chemical problems, especially in the international movement for Krishna consciousness. Once in Sweden we had a project, there was devotees from 16 nations working together. You try to manage something like this. It's really amazing. You know, you try to put a German and Russian devotee together and, you know, and it's very different. You know, because we are not this body, but undeniably the body is here. So I notice it, you know, when I travel around, I make a joke. Same joke. In some countries, they look at you like they don't understand anything. In some countries, they are laughing before I even make the joke. They know, oh yeah, I would do the same joke. Yeah. They know what you mean to say. In some countries, they are like, what is the meaning of this joke? So in some countries, I don't make any jokes. Hardly. I don't want to mention which ones, but I don't want to upset the Germans or the Swedes. Not much humor going around, you know. Germany is always love. We have to, you know, like, Heil Goronga! Let's take the challenge. Let's go down with the ship. They don't think up, they always think like, let's self-destruction. It's very popular in these countries. Like Japanese, although they just put the stripe and kamikaze, you know, bang! You know, this is the fun. Self-destruction. In Sweden, they always think, what is the meaning of what you are saying? There must be a deeper meaning. What is the esoteric meaning of Haribol? You just said Haribol. What do you mean by that? There must be some plan. There must be, you want to come close to me and discover how, you know, you want to check me out? What do you want to do? You say, no, I just said Haribol. Not possible. And there's countries where they just go, Haribol, 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 and they don't mean anything by that. And nothing is happening either. Prabhupada said it. He said, you know, what's the use of this Haribol, Haribol, when you don't preach? Ecstasy, yeah, but from what? So this is, you know, Prabhupada was, in Prabhupada you found all the range of emotions, anything. And it all generated from his intense desire to preach. Whole life Prabhupada was preaching to the last second. Normally the acharyas in our sampradaya, before leaving this planet, they went in seclusion or they withdrew. Prabhupada was public display to the last second, completely public. He even was actually upset in Vrindavan when he was coming to Vrindavan. Finally, you know, getting ready for departing, and people always came and seeing his condition, and this, they're going, oh, how are you? Prabhupada was really annoyed. He said, what do they mean? I'm dying here. They ask, how are you, you know? This is really nonsense. I have no time for this. I still want to, you know, use the time to the last second. So I have no time for this. How are you? So don't let people in anymore. Let's work on translations. He was really trying to the last second. And then, but after the next day, he said, anyway, we cannot keep people out. Keep the door open. So anybody could come and go and see Srila Prabhupada departing. It's amazing. It's a very tense time. I cannot even imagine the time, but it's coming, yeah, sooner or later. And it's usually when the level of pain and the, you know, comes to when you, then you don't have a really desire for big socializing. You know, you want to go somewhere and suffer on your own. But Prabhupada was just, I'm all yours. So exemplary to the last second, to the last minute. So this is actually what Prabhupada implemented into us. No privacy. Privacy is, yeah, grihastha ashrama. There must be some privacy, because who wants to see all this? You know, that it's your thing. You know, that's your private thing. You know. But brahmachari, sannyasi, zero privacy. Nothing. So living in a shopping window. That's all. That's what it means. And that's where the taste comes from. You are nimitta matram. You become just a public tool. Exhibition tool. Yes, it's an exhibition. Here we are, Hare Krishna, public. People get scared sometimes when they think, and what do you do privately? Well, the same thing I do publicly. They go, oh, no privacy. He said, no, for what? I don't need this. And that trains us in selflessness. There's no... Of course, you can be private anytime. You can just sit in the middle of the Brahmacharya ashram and sing something very private. But it will be exposed. Living with devotees means that you will be exposed. There is no hiding. It's impossible. Especially devotees. They are very sharp. They will discover, you are not so saintly as you look like. You know. Especially in Kali Yuga, especially in the terms of internet, the bad news are traveling really fast. You know, it's really coming to the level of slander. That's offensive. So I have to be very cautious and abstain from this. Do you know you heard? I didn't hurt anything unless it's not proven. Yeah, I want to be informed, okay. But where's the proof? Well, he felt that he said, and he thought that he said, he heard. You know, that's gossip. Srila Prabhupada was warning us, gramya kata, destructive talk. Internet is full of it. Prabhupada didn't like even a fax machine. You know, fax. You don't know what fax is, but used to stand in every temple. It was a machine like a cupboard, big machine. And any time from America came a fax, so it was going blink, and it was sounding like a tractor. And there was a whole thing going on, and out came a stripe of paper with punctured with points. And that came out like a telegraph, you know. And then you had to take it out and put it back into the machine in another hole. And that machine was reading it again and it printed the text out. So, you know, so when Prabhupada saw this machine's coming up, he was going, that's no use of this. It's just simply meant to spread gossip. Prabhupada didn't like this, you know. He said, we are doing everywhere the same. What do you want to know? They are chanting, we are chanting. They go on Harinam, we go on Harinam. They distribute books, we do this. What do you want to know? What he liked was the Sankirtan newsletter. That he liked. Reading Sankirtan results. That he liked. And the rest, he said, well, we are doing everywhere the same. What do you want to know? And then he said, our newsletter is Back to Godhead magazine. Philosophy. That's actually the thing. What combines us is the philosophy. The rest, what's happening, yeah, it's happening, you know. It's happening all the time, something is happening. What can we do about it? There's so many things happening right now in Slovenia, which I can do nothing about. Because every devotee has an individual choice to become more Krishna conscious and to go more in Maya. I will not be able to.